So, brothers, I like to come back to this book as a way of giving us some instructions to prepare us for next month. By the way, we are going to have another meeting in June. I believe June the 16th. June the 16th, we'll be back here again. Now, why am I suggesting this? Because in re-entering this burden with you and in the things that we're talking about, I also discovered that some of these related matters in the experience of life are somewhat short or missing even amongst the saints, and perhaps even among some of us. And so as a remedial matter in a way, but surely as a refresher, it could be to many saints this is actually new. Along with the matter of confession and repentance, by the way, the burden is to be revived, right? The lesson is to become a revived person. And so you will cover even the morning time is a good time to be revived, to call on the Lord's name, to pray, read the word, to touch him. I just trust that you are also helping the saints in that. I didn't say that much about so-called morning revival because I am more burdened that the saints would not think that they just do the morning revival, even with some faithfulness, then they're okay. I actually have some question in me that many who so-called do the morning revival do not get revived. Just kind of 2-3 minutes, they read through that day's holy word in the gray section or the verses. They got a few droplets of water maybe and a little inspiration, and that's the food for the day. And here, we're asking these ones to enter the Olympics. Now you see what's wrong with the picture? I am concerned over time that after a while, many saints may live on a subsistent diet. In other words, bare minimum. As if that's a good brother. Now, I know Brother Lee said, even a brother who only come once a year to the church meeting is a good brother. But he speaks from one angle. I agree with him. But that's not the angle I come from. That's not a good brother. That's a terrible brother. No, I mean that. How can... Then we're not even talking about coming to a meeting once a year. We're talking about saints who are in the church life. They profess that. And they know the recovery. They are one with the ministry. They love the Lord. And all that checked. And they even do morning revival. But I am considered how revived they really are spiritually. That I have a question. I have a question. So this is why I personally am not spending that much time just, you know, touching the matter of so-called morning revival. It's in the message, I know, and it's important, so don't skip it. But my burden is more how to help the saints to be genuine revived. I think some saints who don't do morning revival are really revived.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not against morning revival by a long shot. No, brothers. This is a wonderful habit. In fact, has the word, that chapter, Terry, that you suggested, called rising early. Now talk about basic new believers from Brother Nee's series. Brother Nee has 52 lessons. This is not Brother Lee, Brother Nee series. The first, one of the first few is called rising, early rising, excuse me, which is a time with the Lord. And there is not, Brother Nee did not talk about calling on the Lord's name, pray, reading the word, but the essence of that time as a time to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord, to pray, basically to contact the Lord in order to be revived, is true, is absolutely true. So don't think that lesson is too basic. You, in your labor, you need to even get into that lesson to help the saints. You know, he talked about what? Go to bed early.
Yes, yes.
Just telling people to rise up early doesn't work. You know, there's this guy who's a SEAL, you know, SEAL team, you know, these, you know, and he's a vet, and he's been there, done that, and now he's on the motivational speaking. He's one of these motivation speakers to bring all his SEAL training, you know, talk to businessmen, you know, this kind of thing. So this guy said, a lot of my peers, you know, the ex-SEALs, today they just say, we've done that, so they all become fat, and you know what I mean, just kind of back to civilian life, you know. But he said he kept waking up at 4:30. He didn't have to. He could even get up at 5 or 5:30, but no, 4:30. And at 4:30 he goes to the gym and work out. And he said that is so good, and because this way you can sort of get it out of the way early. And then by the time he finished, he go home, his kids are just rising up. And daddy can spend time with the children and take the children to school. You see what I'm saying? So he had a kind of a reason, a rationale for doing that. Then he said, I'm not going to kid you, even as an ex-SEAL, 4:30 is, who wants to get up at 4:30? So he said he has to push himself to do that. And now, you know, the big thing is called discipline, right? You know, with the SEALs. So then he said, the key is to go to bed early, even for SEALs, okay? at least ex-SEALs. He said, all this watching TV, you know, watching YouTube and whatever to get you to go bed too late, you really didn't get that much out of those things, and then you have to wake up late, and then so it goes. He said, that's a lifestyle today of so many people. And in that chapter by Brother Nee, the secret to morning revival is go to bed early. Now, that is a very practical thing for the saints. Don't think this matter is too outward, No. Don't think. We have to build habits. Dear brothers, in building a church, you need to build up the saints. And the way to build up the saints, in many instances, is to mainly build up habits. Good, healthy, spiritual habits. Amen. That will benefit them lifelong. Amen. So this is why inspirational messages can only do so much. You know, they can keep hearing and reading, but but they are full of bad habits spiritually. They still cannot live a healthy, revived life in a sustained way to contribute to the building of the church. So this is why I stress practice. Huh? So I'm not belittling the morning revival, but I just want to kind of wipe out that formalistic, traditional, local church culture that says I did my morning revival. I just don't know how you do morning revival. You need to simply get revived. And so you need to help the saints to start, those who do nothing, with 5 minutes, because it's hard for them. They've never done it. So you be patient. With some saints, just start with 5. But don't stay at 5. In time, in a week or two, they acquire the taste to be genuinely revived. And morning revival, tell them, is not just cracking the open the book, week 2, day 4, those verses, read them, and then the gray box, read them, and then the white area, read them. And some of them have morning revival with a yellow highlighter. Now, I don't know how you get revived with a yellow highlighter. Brothers, the morning time is not to study the HWMR. I'm afraid many saints got the wrong idea. If I just touch the word in that kind of mental way, mostly, mental way. Maybe I wouldn't say without inspiration. Some even do morning revival for the sake of Sunday, Lord's Day, prophesying. Wrong. Wrong. Do not do morning revival so you can get a prophecy. Use another time to do that. The morning time is simply a time you have a date with the Lord. You are with Him. That's it. Me? I don't even get to reading the stuff. Just a phrase, a verse, a two. I tell you, even stick with the word. Don't even go to the ministry. Nothing wrong with the ministry. But once you get there, you have to start using your mind to comprehend, to apprehend. There's a place for that, but that can be a substitute for true spiritual revival. In the morning, the saints need to touch the Lord. They need to receive the Spirit. So they need time actually to call, to tell the Lord you love Him, to sing, am I right? To forget about burdens, to forget about church affairs. How many even leading brothers, they get up, their morning revival is church affair time, you know? Forget the church affairs. Forget everything. That turned out to be the hardest thing to do, is to forget even your responsibilities, just to be with the Lord, just to drink of Him. And all that will lead to some repentance, maybe confession. There will be enjoyment of the Lord. Even this word enjoyment is a very, very abused word, misused words in the recovery, that you get some kind of spiritual high, you get some kind of happy, what is the word? Giddy, is that the word? I'm enjoying the Lord. No. I tell you, much of my top, deepest enjoyment of the Lord was in tears. So many wrong concepts have robbed the saints of a proper experience of real revival. So, brothers, so don't just kind of assume they're okay and tell them something. You need to have that revival, and then you can transmit something like this. And by the way, brothers, I said last time I gave you 4 words. Number 1, people. Number 2, practice. Number 3, personal. Number 4, particular. Didn't I give you those 4 words? Saying that this family training would not be successful if it's only 15 minutes on Lord's Day. Even if it's a good message, it won't do the job. Follow up. one-on-one care. I'm going to say something more maybe in the third meeting. And making sure the saints are practicing them. If not, help them. Help them, you see. Guide them. Even in this such a small thing as what we call morning revival is either wrongly practiced or little practiced in our church life today. You take a poll. You take an honest poll of the saints. You may be quite shocked with the saints in your locality. You assume everyone is like this. Even FTTA grads, no guarantee. They graduate, they gave it up. Because it's required over there, you know, in the in the training, they have to get revived. When they're not required to be revived, they don't get revived. So you see, we have many, many situations that this, even these basic things is addressing. But brothers, the important thing is the practice. The practice will do the work. When a person really touches the Spirit, all manners of things will happen in their lives. Okay, all right. Now, one of the things that came to us as we are getting into this matter is an area that needs remedial help, an area that needs refresher and strengthening, is this whole matter of the fellowship of life and the sense of life. Now, I don't know even how many of you here are familiar with that. If you read those books I mentioned earlier, they all talk about that. I am also concerned that many of our saints either were never exposed to that or they have actually receded in their strong daily experience of these things. I mentioned fellowship of life and sense of life. Now, why do we confess and why do we repent and all of this? Really speaking, another way to look at it is so that we would maintain a fellowship of life. And don't forget, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit simply means the flow or current or the move of the Spirit in you. That's the gushing water. That's the springing up well. Am I right? So we're talking about the same thing. So in order to be a brother who is in the flow of the Lord, who is really in the Spirit, who is, you have just to be, to quote John 15, a branch abiding in the vine. I'm now using yet another word called abiding. How many of our saints are really practicing and seeking and pursuing an abiding life? Now, this is not some super spiritual inner life stuff. This is our portion. We need to live this way. We need to live a life, brothers, at least in this room, a life of constant fellowship with the Lord. Not once in a blue moon I got released or I got... No, we need to stay in a constant fellowship with the Lord. And that is called walking in spirit, living by the Spirit. And it is called abiding in the vine. And so this fellowship, to remain in this fellowship, should be in the consciousness of the saints. You need to build up the saints to live this life. Okay? Now, I'm just back and forth here, you excuse me. Brothers, to build up a church, don't jump all over the place. Build up one thing at a time, then move on to the next one. That doesn't mean every saint in your church broke through in that one matter. But many do. Then you move on, because you're going to come back again. Okay? a church. You know, I'm not into athletics and these football, baseball, whatever, basketball, all these things. But I have certainly heard from certain coaches, successful coaches, that a good team, eventually, they are just solid in the basics. They don't have these kind of fancy, flowery moves, you know. That doesn't make a good team. The good team is solid basics. And then, you know, they have a few fancy whatever. But the basics is what make a team great. And so, brothers in the church life, don't seek for fancy stuff. You know what I mean? Kind of pretty stuff. Aim for the basics. Build up the basics in the saints that they can, for lifelong, profit from it. This is the secret to building up the church. Okay. So, build up habits. Build up habits. And for that, you need just plenty of practice. People don't become a great golfer overnight. You know, how many millions of balls they hit before they become some kind of good golfer. So, you just, you know, you acquire muscle memory, am I right? You acquire, you know, certain connection in your brain to your arm, to your... All that holistically make you that have that good swing. So, brothers, it takes doing it again and again and again. And please do not say this is too human, too artificial, too not spiritual. Please don't say that. Please don't say that. Life, a well-lived, healthy life, is about habits. Amen. It's about good habits. And I shouldn't say too much about it, but no, today I still swim. I still swim. And I think I told you, I started to swim when I was 38, a little late, but not too late. And I knew if I don't build up the regimen, every year is going to be harder for me. I mean, some kind of exercise regimen. And now it's 30 years, something like that, 30 years. 30 years? Yeah. So I just give out my age, right? So, 30 years, I tell you, for me to change and get in my car and go to the club where I go to swim, still resistance. You don't need this. I tell myself, you don't need this. You know, it's okay, take a break. My mind talks to me. So you have to shake it off and do your thing. And after you do it, you feel so good. And I tell you, in these 30 years, the reason I can stand like this before you and function like this before you is because of my swimming. Yeah. And I intend to swim until I cannot swim. And when I swim, I have a buddy. We're really not buddies, but anyway, he also swims. This guy is in his 80s now. His name is Joe, 80. My goodness, he swims more than I do. And he is my inspiration. So I said, if this guy can swim, I can swim. You should see him. 80-something, he's dark, sinewy, fit. I hope when I'm his age, I would be kind of like that. Brothers, this is a law. I don't mean Old Testament law. I mean a law. Okay? Spiritual things are not miraculous. That's the last thing. God works miracle because of unbelief. If there's belief, there's no need for miracle. Because the greatest miracle is already happening. It's called God coming into man. So you don't need no other miracle. But sometimes a miracle needs to take place because of unbelief. Even tongue speaking is because of unbelief. In a normal situation, we do not need miraculous things. We need good habits to live a normal spiritual life. That is a revived life. So to be revived is not some super spiritual experience. It is the portion of a Christian. But because of today's degraded situation, this is the life that overcomers live. So to be an overcomer is simply to be a normal brother, a normal sister with good habits. But I'm afraid the saints are doing certain things in motion, in a kind of action, but inwardly they really did not benefit from it because they didn't touch that thing. So my burden is how to help the saints into this. They say better to help a person to fish than to give a person a fish. Am I right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. Once the saints discover the joy, the real touch of the Lord, they will know what is to be revived and what is not. Because even sometimes we don't get revived in the morning. That happens. But we know we didn't, at least. And we don't cheat ourselves. Okay, brothers. Now, one of the important things here is the matter of this fellowship of life. And more specifically, it is about the maintenance of that fellowship. It is about keeping the water flowing. It is about abiding in the vine without any insulation or barrier between us and the Lord, etc., etc. And one very important thing is this matter of feeling and sense. Feeling and sense. I have really seen that in certain saints, this matter is not so learned. They have not been built up adequately in the matter. And so in all these lessons of life, this matter is always stressed. Now, this is a great matter that a lot of people don't talk about. But in the it has too much to do with our Christian life and our growth in life. That is to know the feeling or the sense of life and the feeling of the Spirit. And that feeling, there's no phrase called sense of life in the Bible, okay? But the word feeling is mentioned. Frequently referring primarily to the conscience. I actually think even the saints need some help on the matter of the conscience. This is not just some young people lesson, okay? Oh, we need to help them with the conscience. I find some brothers and sisters, even in the church life for years, it's like they lost their conscience. They neglected their conscience, or their conscience got seared. I tell you, when your conscience loses its feeling, there should be red light blazing. You are in danger territory with no feeling. So the Bible in the New Testament has the word feeling. And the worldly people are the people who cast away the feeling. We are the people who are what? Live by this feeling. But Paul says, I live by a good conscience. I serve God with a pure conscience, and so on and so forth. So we need to even look at the lessons on the conscience, etc. But that is the first level of consciousness or sense, is the consciousness of our conscience. I don't have the time here, really, about what condemns, God condemns, and what God approves. And that, in other words, what's right and what's wrong. The conscience is God's glove. You know, we always say the hand in the glove. I tell you, God is also in a glove. That glove is the human conscience. Inside is actually God. Outside is the conscience. The conscience is your the faculty within you that tells you what God justifies and what God condemns according to his righteous standard. That's the action of the conscience. When men fell, what happened was that conscience got activated. You know what I mean? And so according to the dispensations, the first dispensation is a dispensation of innocence. And after man fell, the conscience of man, which is part of the spirit of man, which is from God, you know the spirit is from God, got activated, got triggered. And so man enter into the age of the conscience. That fell. Man fell, even from living by their conscience. So enter the third dispensation of man, called the dispensation of human government. Human government. Eventually, in Genesis 6, whatever, even that got cast off. Even the police doesn't work. Kind of like today. And then the earth was filled with violence and lawlessness. And so we know that in God's salvation, he worked in reverse. In order to bring man back to himself, he firstly had to cause man to at least acknowledge human government. But that's not enough. From human government, we should progress to learning to be ruled by our conscience that tells us what's right, what's wrong. But even that is not enough for God. God wants to bring us all the way back to a God consciousness. That means God's direct rule, not even through our conscience, but God himself directly ruling us. And that is what we call the sense of life, or we can call it the sense of the spirit. Now, in these, and all these things, we were very taught when we were young. And so we are very, very fluent with these things. And it is always in our consciousness. And it affects our whole Christian life. But today, I find that to be, sorry to say, generally not prominent, not prevailing. So I use this word, sorry. There's a kind of dullness, spiritual dullness or spiritual haziness in the lives of many dear brothers and sisters. They're good, but there's a kind of haze. There's a kind of dullness. You don't feel the acute sensitivity within them towards right, towards wrong, but even much more to the sense of life and peace versus the sense of death. And it is these senses, brothers, that tells us where we are. This is our GPS, or not GPS, this is our app or whatever that tells us right now where you are. That dot, where you are, it's that sense. The moment you lose that sense, you are in danger zone. You know, once upon a time in the church life, early days, years, divorce was unheard of. We pride ourselves in the recovery of no divorce. Today, I'm talking about the church life, this has become more and more accepted, tolerated. And I'm not even talking about old people. I'm talking about young people. that they got married after a couple of years, didn't work out. You know what I'm saying? Now, there are special cases, there are particular situations. I'm not talking about that. I'm just speaking in a very common way, brothers. And I'm not surely instituting a rule here or make some regulation, so please don't take me that way. Okay. But brothers, I am just saying that the world, everything is aimed to desensitize us. Everything. So that you can do anything with no feeling and no problem. And the more you do it that way, the more you're desensitized. And that's why I say, even in some cases, losing even the feeling of the conscience, not even just of life, of the conscience, of right and wrong. Forget about how God feels. So, I need to say this, brothers. We the church is as strong as each saint is healthy. And so we cannot build a house of cards, a you know what I mean, something that can collapse. We're here to build something solid. And the lives of the saints is the backbone. So there's a whole lot to say about this, but let me just come back and wrap up this matter. And that is on the sense of life. Now, this sense is more than the conscience, telling you what's right, what's wrong. This is a sense of God, because God is life. So it says life and peace in Romans 8. The opposite of that is the sense of death. Don't hate the sense of death. The sense of death saves us. It is part of this inner sense. So now we need to, I feel we need to do something remedial, just using the month of June, in this third session to help the saints in this matter. And you get this book, and the 4 weeks in June will be chapter 10 or lesson 10, Fellowship of Life. Lesson 11, the sense of life. Lesson 14, the sense of the Spirit and knowing the Spirit. And lesson 15, the sense of the Spirit and knowing the Spirit number 2. There's 1 and 2. Now, they are not comprehensive. They don't cover everything. For example, they don't touch the matter of the anointing here. I don't know how many of the saints have been through a training in knowing the anointing. Amen. Just the anointing. This is not even just the sense of life. The sense of life is still reactive. Okay? The sense of life. But the anointing is the active moving of the Spirit in us by way of giving us certain sensation. All right? And all this is needed for us to have a life with the Lord, to have a proper spiritual life, to be just healthy in Christ. So we will do that with those 4 lessons. You go take a look. And the last 2 lessons is not that easy. You need to kind of work on that a little bit. But please take a look. All right, much shorter outlines, also with certain ministry of brotherly here. You know the sense of life, right? What is the sense of life? Brightness, am I right? Livingness, release, am I right? Joy, am I right? Peace, comfort. All this sensation tells you you're okay. You're right with the Lord. Versus the sense of death, you feel depressed, you feel down, you feel fearful, you feel dark. See, these are not psychological tricks, okay? These are, the saints need to know these inner sense so that they know where they are in their relationship with the Lord. And when they have the sense of death, they quickly have to remove themselves from certain things or deal with certain things until that sense go away. And when they have the sense of life and peace, they know they're right with the Lord. You see, these protect us, this preserves us in the fellowship of life with the Lord. And it is when we have this kind of life, brothers, our enjoyment of the Lord is maintained. And we lived in a revived state, and then we can serve the Lord. We can preach the gospel, we can do take care of the saints, we can do so many things. All right? Are you clear? You know, the higher the life, the higher the sense. So many things we should know, but I just cannot take the saints for granted. Actually, I cannot take you for granted. How much you have learned this, and how much are you experiencing this? Okay. Okay, all right. I think that's good for this. Okay, what do we do? All right. I think what we'll do is we'll have another 8 minutes or whatever. Then we'll have a little break again. And then I have something to say at the end in the third. But I'd like to open out for you some to have some questions about this whole matter with the family training. You might have some, after 2 weeks now, you may have some or related to your experience. See, I'm not letting this go. That's why I'm bothering.
Hey, man, I have a question.
Yeah.
In our home meeting, we fellowship a little bit about the purpose of this family training, the intensity of this family training, because it seems less intense than semi-annual other training. How much should we, what is the message, what should be conveyed to the saints in terms of the intensity, the seriousness, and the gravity of the training? Because it is only, in terms of sessions, one day a week. They didn't sign up for it. They can catch recordings, you know, if they miss it. It seems to be not as serious or intense as other church life trainings, but that's not the case.
Okay, so interesting. You may be the 98%, but at least I got one communication to say we don't need this training. It's too formal, too intense. So that may be the 2%. Okay? So I like to. What I'm trying to say is I like what I hear. But I will say this, saints. The fact that we do it and call it a family training is so that it does not get overly intense, meaning that it could become burdensome and demanding for many saints. And it would, as a result, discourage them from not only joining it, but continuing in it. So we like to make it more accessible, more open, and not putting so much requirement on the brothers and sisters. And that's how we did these things before. That's how Brother Lee did it. This is different than the so-called eldership training a couple of years back and some of the other kinds of training, like the semi-annual for sure. semi-annual are for those who are very seeking, they want something. This kind of family training is more general for all the brothers and sisters in the church life, regardless where they are spiritually. So we want to be that way. So I would say leave it to the saints. Some who are seeking, like the nobles and the princes, right? They seek the Spirit. They will treat this training in a very serious way, in a very pursuing way. Great. The more, the better. Some would not. They just come and listen to a message. They got some help. They go home. Still, it's good. Still, it's good. All right? Our job is to bring the saints from here to here to here to here over time, right? From less intense to more intense. But that seeking, you cannot force it. You cannot command it. In fact, it's don't do that, because you can encourage some, but it can also discourage some other saints. Wow, I cannot be so intense. It's not for me. No, it's for them. It's for them. So there's a gradation among the saints where they are, and we have to take care of them accordingly. Now, I must repeat this again, that Lord's Day morning speaking, as important as it is, and I'm going to say something more at the third meeting, is half of it, at the most, half of it, of this training. The other half is the follow-up. Whether it's in home meeting, one-on-one care, visitation, use this training material and burden to shepherd the saints. You won't go wrong. These are basic matters of life, right? So
talked a lot about shepherding is much more effective when it's personal, and especially the focus of the training. My question is regarding shepherding of sisters, because the brothers are here, and we have a lot of fellowship in our home localities with brothers, so it's easier to convey the burden to meet one-on-one. I always have a sense of inadequacy in shepherding the sisters in our locality.
Yeah. No. By the way, let me just say a word. Again, I use these occasions for general perfecting, right? The Lord knows how burdened I am for this group of brothers, because this is how the churches will be, how we are. Definitely, brothers, just as an aside, we have to be very careful in this matter of sex, all right? When I came out to serve, you know, with brotherly calling some of us, one of the first thing he would talk to us is this. Not this, so many different matters, but to be very, very exercised and careful in this matter. That is the way we relate as brothers, right, to the female, the sisters, and so on. Because, brothers, we are all made out of flesh, yes?
Yes.
And we're still in the flesh, and we're still vulnerable, all of us. Brother Lee say, even I'm 80-some years old, I'm not free from the flesh. So we have to be very, very vigilant and exercise in this matter of taking care of it. Something called to avoid even the appearance of evil. This is one area, this one thing why I respect Billy Graham so much. Billy Graham. This is built into his ministry. even into their policy. And when he started out, they were a few of these 30-year-old, 20-some young men, you know, they just met the President Truman. You know, they went to meet with Truman, and they pray with Truman. And they were, like, rock stars, Christian rock stars, you know, these handsome guys. And they go all over the place. They live in motels, I mean, hotels, and all over the world. And so they know, they realize, and so they have a pact or agreement among themselves, these men, to make them into a kind of a rule amongst themselves how they should behave. You don't do this, you don't do that. And so one thing about the Billy Graham ministry, at least about Billy Graham, I cannot talk about the whole ministry, is that true to that, this brother, at least in this, morally speaking, I tell you, is more than upright. And that brings respect, and it preserves the Lord's testimony, the name of the Lord, with his preaching. So, and Brother Lee talked to us about that as well. He has great respect for Billy Graham for this reason. And so, brothers, so in taking care of the churches, we all have to be very, very careful in this matter, keeping the distance and not be in any private place, unseen place with an opposite gender who is not our wives, right? And so on. You know what I'm talking about. Don't even let this slip. People will say, you are just so what? Old-fashioned or so? No, it's not about fashion here. It's about the flesh. And so so we need to be very exercised in this way, just as an aside. So in this matter of sisters' need, you are right. How to shepherd the sisters. Actually, that is the main job for sisters. For sisters to shepherd sisters. That's the right way. Now, there would be a situation where my wife and I would shepherd a sister. That happens a lot. That's okay, because both of us are there. Just like the two of my wife and I, we shepherd brothers. She's not alone with a brother, right? We're there taking care of this young brother or this whatever. So so that's okay. But I'm talking about individually. So this brings out a huge, big subject, and that is, look, if we need perfecting and training, how much sisters need perfecting and training in order that they can shepherd the young sisters? Today, there is a shortage in that department of sisters who have certain maturity in human years and also in spiritual years, spiritual learning, that truly can shepherd the younger sisters, becoming patterns to them and also to shepherd them. Blessed is the church with such sisters. And a lot of these older sisters in age, many have died off and passed on and so on. And I look around, they are sisters, but not all sisters are useful in that way. There are some sisters who have been here, but they are unlearned in spiritual things. They cannot shepherd people properly. You know, some just love to go pair up people. You know what I mean? Matchmaking. No. That is one part of it. I'm not saying that's actually a very important part of it. But it, in the hands of unlearned spiritual sisters and brothers, they made a mess. They even caused bad marriages, brothers, by the saints' zealous heart to bring two together that shouldn't be together, because they have never learned these things. They just are naturally concerned and naturally this. That natural zeal does not qualify you. You need to learn so many things putting two together in marriage is a serious matter. And there are mismatches. Don't say, oh, the Lord's sovereign. Okay, that's a cop-out. The Lord is sovereign, but not for you as an excuse, you know. So I'm just saying this, I'm just digging into this matter, brother, and that is we are really in need of more sisters. So yesterday we brought this matter up, and I have 48 sister lessons. Yeah. And because I'm slowly ticking it down one by one wherever I go, so I give them and I help to prepare those outlines and so on. Let me tell you, brothers, I told the brothers, I said, after I spoke, I felt these are not just lessons for sisters, these are lessons for brothers. Because you brothers don't know what sisters need. You don't know what the Word says. And if we don't, how do we help the church? When 70% of the building up of a church depends on sisters, according to Brother Lee. And I believe him. So we are going to make some of these speaking and material available. All right? And we'll work with some brothers. So if the leading brothers, you have some burden in this way for your locality, contact who? Who should they contact? Can we have a brother who can help with that?
David already helped.
David? Oh, he's not here. Okay. Okay, contact David. Okay, David Chui. I like to not sell my goods. These are my goods, and I'm selling it. So please forget about that. I would strongly recommend them because they, again, are so, it's comprehensive and very, very needed for all the sisters. So you can encourage the sisters. The best is not privately, personally, to listen, but they would gather together, sponsored by the church. You know, the sisters gather together and listen to something. We have outlines, we have excerpts, just like the elders' training. But I think you will find even certain sisters who have been around for a while, they have never been taught some of these things, the things. And I actually like even sisters who are younger to access these material. You say, how young? Even college age. You may think I'm too much. Even college age. Of course, the young working ones and so on. So, okay. So, no answer to your question. You couldn't do too much, right, as a brother, you know. But you and your wife together can do something. With some sisters. That's okay. Or some sisters in your locality could really have the Lord's grace and this portion to really shepherd the young ones. You don't know when you have just even one or two sisters like that in your church, how much that would mean to your church. How much the younger sisters will get care and proper training. It does say in Titus that the older women should train up the younger women in how to love their husbands. You remember that? And how to manage their kids and this and that. And then in 1 Timothy as well, about widows, you know, how they should be, and young women, how they should be, all with a sort of a perspective of a kind of perfecting by an older generation to a younger generation. We, brothers, we just think the meetings does it all. The meetings. If the meetings are great, the church will be great. No. The meetings are just the expressive part, the exhibition. What do we exhibit? Our daily life, our marriage life, our family life, our home life. That's where we labor on the Lord. That's where we experience Christ. And we bring it to the meeting to display. And no wonder our meetings are lacking, because there's not laboring the solid solidity in our human life and in our personal lives and family life and so on. So the building up of the saints in all these respects is so important to a strong church, a healthy church. Okay? So I hope this is good.